This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Simeri Ainsborough. The Global Union Education International has been campaigning to publicize the linkage between women and climate change. Here's part of an EI webinar focused on climate change and young women unionists.
Hello, everyone. My name is Madeleine Kennedy McFoy, and I work on policy, research, and advocacy at Education International. EI is a global federation of education unions and represents 32 million teachers in 383 organizations across 178 countries. The theme today is Gender Equality Today for a Sustainable Tomorrow. Jo Grady is the General Secretary of the University and College Union in the UK. UCU's members are on strike right now over deteriorating employment conditions and pension cuts. Thanks a lot, Jo, for taking the time to be with us today. And please extend our solidarity to all of the higher education union staff who've been striking.
I'm the General Secretary of UCU, which is the University and College Union. We are the largest post-16 union in the world, and we represent workers in the UK who work in any kind of post-16 education. So in the UK, that's further education colleges, higher education, but we also represent people who teach in adult education and also who teach people in prisons. So we kind of cover a lot of different types of professionals who work in education and not just teachers. And my role, I have the honour of being the person who is the elected leader of that union. I was elected in 2019. Prior to the election, I worked in education myself as a lecturer at university. So I kind of tread this line between being a member of staff of the union, but the only elected member of staff.
So I want to ask you about what that experience has been like for you. What differences did being a woman and being young make to the journey that you've been on to become a leader?
I think in trade unions, which, you know, just for the context, you know, have traditionally, not always, but traditionally in the UK context, at least, you know, they emerged out of male dominated industries. And, you know, and they did so, you know, kind of like 100 years ago. And obviously, as time has gone by, you know, they've expanded their membership and their campaigning priorities to include women and also, you know, other kind of marginalized groups, because, you know, trade unions were firmly kind of male and white dominated. So I think it's important that people who are not that category have now started taking greater roles in unions and leading them. And there are other female general secretaries in the UK, but it is rare to have a young woman. There is one other young woman, similar age to me, who's leading a union. And I think it's fair to say that the challenges, I think, are what women in numerous industries face of not being taken as seriously. Or even if you are taken seriously, I think, you know, you get those kind of microaggressions of people trying to diminish your efforts or your achievements or somehow suggesting that maybe you were lucky. I know when I ran for election of the union, despite the fact that I got my PhD at 25, I was called a vanity-driven lightweight, you know, for having the audacity to decide to put myself forward to run the union. So I think you get a lot of people still who are very wedded to or comfortable with the way things used to be. And I think they get quite threatened when they see someone who, in their opinion, you know, should be waiting their turn. And I think that's, I think, in a way, great, because if your audacity and your confidence and your vision for what something should look like and be different threatens people, I think that's good. People are inspired and people have joined the union and people want to see different campaigning priorities. So I really don't mind if that's the kind of attitude I get from some people.
Yes, you're troubling some very deep structures by being who you are and occupying the positions that you're occupying. So thinking now more specifically, I'd like to turn to the link between education and climate change. So Jo, I guess you do, but I'm going to ask anyway, do you think that climate change and climate education should be a priority for the union?
Absolutely, 100%. When I stood for General Secretary in 2019, I really did it with the conviction that members wanted an even more assertive campaigning union. UCU members, you know, as I said, they have spent their lives in education, most of them, one way or another. We're not just motivated by a narrow set of interests like pay or pensions. We're really motivated by social justice issues like climate change. And UCU, you know, we've been leading the way in the UK on climate change in the trade union movement way before other unions got on board. We helped found the Greener Jobs Alliance, the Trade Union Clear Air Network. Our policies oppose any type of airport expansion or fracking, which is not the case with lots of other unions. You know, we've called for Climate Justice Fund to be established by wealthy polluting nations. And I really firmly believe that UCU reps and members, when they work collaboratively and build solidarity with our students and communities, you know, we can make a real significant contribution towards tackling climate emergency. Because I think the whole experience of whether it's COVID or the last few years, you know, we know that the climate emergency, you know, it has a gendered fist. You know, women are disproportionately the people who are displaced by the climate emergency. And I know that UCU members care about that. COVID-19, it was a reminder that our existence on Earth is fragile. You know, there's lots of similarities between, I think, the climate crisis and the coronavirus crisis. You know, in both cases, there has been a refusal to listen to scientists, to the academic community, to the wider community of people who are most affected by the crisis, rich nations hoarding reserves, despite the fact this is a crisis that needs to be globally managed. And if we want to create a more just and sustainable world as we emerge out of this crisis, we need that Green New Deal strategy. And it must be founded on acknowledging all of what I've just said, founded on social justice, on workers' rights, and led by trade unions.